Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Nick.
Hi there.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you?
Is it afternoon?
Yeah, it's quite cold in South Africa.
It's a very cold. Where are you based?
Currently, I'm in Portugal, and we're deep in a heat wave.
Oh my goodness, in the heat wave. Well, it's summertime that side, and well, man, we're feeling cold, I'm telling you, this side. But well, enjoy summer while we endure winter this side.
Definitely.
Now, Nick, when a child struggles to read, write, or follow instructions, it's easy to label them as lazy or difficult. But what if the issue runs deeper? Now, learning disability affects how the brain receives and processes information, and no two cases are the same. Whether it's dyslexia, ADHD, or auditory processing issues, early recognition and support can transform lives. Now, today we want to speak to you to unpack the realities behind learning disabilities, the stigma surrounding them, and what inclusion truly looks like in homes, schools, and churches. What are some of the most common types of learning disabilities, and how do they manifest, Nick?
Right. So I think from the get-go, we need to understand that learning disabilities are not an indication of whether somebody can learn or not, but rather how they learn. So let's just start there first. You did mention some of the more popular ones, the ADHD, the auditory processing disorder, APD. But one that most people maybe would know about quite easy, apart from ADHD, is dyslexia, dyscalculia, or dysgraphia, which is, you know, difficulty in reading, spelling, difficulty with numbers, or difficulty in writing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now,
there's about 1 out of 10 children in South Africa with a learning disability. So we've all come across one at least.
Yeah, and that's quite a great number, I must say. But one out of 10 children, it's a very, very significant problem. Now, how can parents and teachers identify early warning signs of a learning disability?
So I think the starting point there is we need to look at teacher-parent collaboration as a starting point, right? So children are most of their day at school. So somebody who would pick it up first would be the teacher. The parents can collaborate what is found by the teacher. And what we're looking for basically is, so let's split it up into like preschool. You're looking for trouble with following directions, difficulty with rhyming words. As they go into primary school, you're looking at reversing letters, trouble reading, maybe struggling with basic maths or memory even. And then all of this shows out in behavior such as avoiding reading, frustration, low self-esteem. And then again, the next step from that is, you know, do they have trouble making friends? Are they not understanding social cues? But there's some amazing tools out there. There's some screening tools. I think it's the LSEN screening checklist. And in South Africa, we do have district-based support teams, which fall under the inclusive education policy. And these are teams designed to actually help. The goal with these teams is not to label the child, but rather to provide the early intervention and support-based teaching.
Now, what can communities and faith-based organizations play, the role that is, that can play, that they can play in supporting some affected individuals?
Yeah, so the first thing to understand there again is that support doesn't happen only in the classroom.
Yes, true.
It doesn't only happen in the classroom or at home. It's a whole community responsibility as such.
Yeah, yeah.
To support everybody in that community. So the first thing we need to do is understand that churches, youth groups, NGOs, they all play a role in being able to identify and support learners, right? We can look at things such as support groups, educational workshops, maybe accessible tutoring. But the most important thing we can do is normalize diversity. You know, so talks like this, radio discussion, social media storytelling, all of this normalizes it. There's two great programs in South Africa. I think one is called Shine or Shine Literacy. And the other one is Nali Bali. I might have pronounced that terribly.
You actually pronounce it very well, Nali Bali. Yes.
These create beautiful spaces for children to learn to read, to feel welcome. And of course, when institutions are looking at training, they should look at training that's, you know, accessible and that has a part of their subjects or modules focused on accommodating diverse learners, because it's 10% of society. And there's some great research which actually shows that a large majority of dropouts at school all go through undiagnosed learning difficulties. So we can solve a problem a lot just by normalizing what is happening.
Now, I'm wondering, what do you think would be the cause of undiagnosed difficulties? Do you think it's resources?
Well, yeah. The study particularly focused on under-resourced areas. That is a huge element. There's also a lot of social stigma around it. We have things such as the label lazy. We have the label slow, maybe low intelligence, low IQ. And all of these labels and tags you put on it come with shame. And as long as the shame exists, it's sort of buried in the cupboard, right? We sort of don't address it. We don't want to accept it. And because we have that as a culture, we can't actually address the problem.
Now, how can we challenge the stigma? You spoke about the stigma and also misconceptions around learning disabilities. How do we face those head on?
Right, so there's another great study from a University of Johannesburg. It happened just before COVID, I think 2018. And what they discovered was that people with learning disabilities often underperform due to environmental barriers, not their cognitive ability.
Okay.
And that's quite important because it emphasizes again that it's not a measure of our intelligence. It's how you learn, not whether you can learn. Right. So there's a few things to understand. Number one is that research has shown time and time again that people with learning disabilities are either average or above average in intelligence, right? And the labels are what stop them. And then we like an IQ test, right? I mean, as a psychologist myself, I love me an IQ test. But it doesn't capture things such as, you know, creativity, emotional intelligence, or problem-solving abilities, which is very relevant in the world today. I think also normalizing our heroes. You know, if we think of people who are smart, everybody would say, like, Albert Einstein is quite smart. Right? I think we can agree with that.
Yeah.
And he had a learning disability. You know, he had dyslexia. And yet he contributed so much to academia. If we look at Whoopi Goldberg, for example, apart from the current scandal, right, she often discusses her learning difficulties. So we need to start mentioning how people who are successful, who are academics, actually have these learning disabilities and have overcome them.
Yeah. Now, in terms of these learning disabilities and how the parents get to pick that those up early, you did say that if parents are truly having trouble, not only picking it up, but also, you know, getting into a problem solving issue. Do you think that without naming any organization, organizations or NGOs, NPOs, that you think parents can approach if they suspect that something may not be right with my child?
Yeah, there's quite a few places to start with. I would always suggest, you know, speak to your local social worker to connect you with an occupational therapist to take a look. Get the medical side sorted first. Understand what is happening. And I want us to start approaching this problem through not using the word disability.
Let's
start by using the word learning difference.
I see.
right? And as parents, we should encourage schools to adopt something like the UDL system, which is Universal Design for Learning.
Mm-hmm.
And we start sharing these stories. And we start speaking to teachers at our school to say, you know, if the child can't learn the way we teach, we should teach them the way they learn. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So starting from there, we look at our support systems. All right. Mm-hmm. Your general doctor can get you going.
Mm-hmm.
We've got like Autism SA. We've got many societies that deal with dyspraxia,
mm-hmm.
Writing difficulties. There are societies that do exist. A lot of them are in more metro
mm-hmm.
areas. But starting off with your social worker and your occupational therapist is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school and then organizations. That sort of would be. And there's some organizations I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They're also quite good as a contact starting point.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, Nick, with the advancement of, technology out there, there's AI and all sorts of technological advancements. Has there been any strides made in that regard in as far as addressing the learning differences?
Yes, so much. The most exciting thing happened yesterday, for example. We all know ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah.
And ChatGPT has released a new feature where you can actually call them and speak to them instead of writing to them.
Oh.
That is it's an amazing thing, like a phone call.
Wow.
So what's happening is technology, especially AI, mm-hmm. is changing how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we no longer have to do the hard writing and the hard memory work.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn more problem solving and communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be where our education will focus on. And that will immediately change the uneven ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
suddenly it's not how well you can write anymore, or how much you can remember, but how well can you communicate an idea to allow technology to finish this task for you.
Mm-hmm.
So technology is assisting greatly in it. You know, the fact that if you have somebody who cannot write well,
mm-hmm.
suddenly speaking to a computer and helping them write, you have so many opportunities that are available. Apps are becoming more and more inclusive. There's different apps like Be My Eyes, in which you can ring somebody if you cannot see, and they will be your eyes for you for a few minutes to help you make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're becoming, technology sort of like gluing us together in a way of saying, that little gap that's missing, or that we perceive as missing, because there's nothing actually missing there, what we perceive actually doesn't exist there. And it's giving us that right support to overcome it.
Lovely. And, when we started, you did mention the stats there. One is one out of every 10, learners would have a learning difference. And of course, but I think according to our conversation, these are not issues that are insurmountable. But do you know if there's any success rates in terms of overturning the situation?
Yeah, there's some amazing success studies also. Not many of them are modern, I will be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But we have something like schools that started out of the Salamanca statement. That was in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And what they exhorted was for schools to, you know, start accommodating children regardless of ability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then South Africa took that because that was a UNESCO paper, and they formed a white paper on it. I think it was paper number 6. It was one of the early white papers formed.
Mm-hmm.
And research by University of Pretoria shown that, I mean, they have an all augmentative center there. But research has shown that if we change how we speak about it, we change how we approach it, and we focus on strengths rather than differences or disabilities or inabilities, the success rate is very high. It's, I think, 70 to 80% of success that you can get out of it if there aren't further complications. So we can take that one out of every 10, and we could make it easily 2 out of 100.
Wow.
Or even less if we just apply the correct thinking and destigmatize it.
Beautiful stuff, man. I think it's quite encouraging that at least such a huge success rate is actually achievable. Nick Master, thank you so much for joining us. Nick Fernandez joins us talking about, I'm going to actually adopt what you taught us this afternoon, learning differences, so that we can actually begin to destigmatize and be part of a problem solving. Nick Fernandez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Blessings to you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.